Blog Talk Radio.
Black Freethinkers. Black Freethinkers.
Welcome to the breakbeat. We make heat to blaze streets with these words. Whether you in the burbs or in the hood, on the street curb or corner, crossing all the borders in your middle state. Elevate your thinking to fall in line like the interstate. We finna take you on the journey like the Zelda game. Painting perfect pictures without the cellophane. Pella pain with those same with destruction. And we're here with ideas for construction. Critique from critics, we're cynics with the lyrics. Abolish demons and spirits, making that work like Linux. Pivot your position, listen when we drop wisdom with the gods missing and a big
I'm
kind
of for this whack business. Weak rappers that lack structure, I'm back in this. Leaving half to get track structured. Black free thinker, free flowing mentality. You wanna see thinking, rewrote to reality. What is morality? Always thoughtless and scared to wander. I'm about to read a bone godless Americana with my doubt for these. Apologetic. It's a false fetish, filling empty holes with God aesthetics. It's all connected. It's 310-982 and 4273 to get through. So turn down your speakers or a feedback loop. We'll disrupt the show and interrupt you.
Ah, yes, you hear that. Filling empty holes with God aesthetics. All right, gang. You know what time it is. MC Brooks, this is Father Teresa, and I am withholding all blessings until the second hour, because I don't know if you sexy little sinners deserve them yet. And I'm not in the chat room yet right now, but keep populating the chat room. My PC might freeze because of all that damn flash. And now you've heard me hosting before, and you know what I'm going to say. Check the archives. The past few shows, Trayvon Martin, justice served or denied? Well, he was found guilty. Is society going forward or backward? Check the RSS feed. That's Reason, Science, and Skepticism. What is Ratchet? Alfred and Carol, Common Theist Arguments and Logical Fallacies. Arn Blast with Veter Starr, Current State of Hip-Hop. Then the Uncle Tom, Uncle Ruckus, Coon, Tar Baby, and Christian show. I think it was Kim Rayner, Fonzer, that was the title. It's hardcore, man. The big funny got on. Carl was on there, Fonzer, Kim and Rayner. And then Rape Culture, It Impacts All of Us was on there. That was another episode, and M and Evil, that's Emmerline and Mario the Ultra Evil, Omniscient, Omnipotent, and Omnipresent, the Paradox. I just find him impotent. And all that happened since the last breakbeat. All of those shows happened just within the last breakbeat episode. I just checked in iTunes. There's 163 episodes of Black Freethinkers, so whatever you're doing, you can be checking out something in the archives. There's never
exactly.
A time to not be doing that. Yes.
Throw it on while you play Madden. Throw it on while you play Madden, while you read a book, you know, going home from work, while you're working out, on your way to your hot date. Oh, you could even play it for your date. She might be impressed. He or she might be impressed. We'll see.
Right. Even if the date's not hot. Hell, if it's just casual, if it's just regular, if it's fucking brunch and you know it's going to be boring, you don't even want to go, but you got Black Freethinkers.
Yes.
And you can just do that thing
where you
put one headphone in your ear and just pretend that's your earbud for your phone. People don't even know you're listening to a show while they're having their dorky-ass conversation. Like, are these new scones? And you're listening to Black Freethinkers. You don't even give a shit. Now,
I mean, just speaking from experience, I'm pretty sure that's how you don't get a date. you know, you definitely don't want to be just ignoring him or her and whatnot. That's a whole show for a whole other day. Tonight, we've got a pretty fascinating topic. We're going to be discussing elitism in the intellectual community, which, you know, is somewhat kind of vague, you know. But luckily, me and Father Teresa here have put together a nice little segment of stuff to discuss and things that we'd like to mention and whatnot about this subject. So we're definitely gonna get into that in the second hour of the show. However, you know, if you've been listening, and we sure hope you have, you already know how we do. You already know how we do at this point. First hour is strict dedication to announcements. We have a cross-phase segment where we're going to discuss stuff that goes, you know, that's been going on over the last 2 weeks. Then we have the overflow, you know, since I MC and he MCs together, we both MC and we're dope as hell. We're going to spit a couple verses for you guys, you know, to kind of lighten the mood before we jump into whatever our main topic for the night is. But before we get into any of that, I know this Friday, you know, Father Teresa already told you to check the archives. This Friday, Mario and Emmeline will be hosting their show, which is going to be a variety of hot topics. So definitely make sure you call and check in. Excuse me, you call in or just join the chat and converse with them, and it'll definitely be a really fun, really, really fun show, especially if you have nothing better to do on Friday night. But even if you do have something better to do, you should probably still check in anyway. That being said, let's see, I did, hopefully I don't fumble my words with this. You know, our founder here, Kim, just got back from L.A., where she was there for a scholarship presentation by the Black Skeptics of L.A. I wanted to say that's what they're called. You know, their first ceremony, I guess it was their first ceremony. They just had it last weekend where I believe 5 scholarships were given out. I believe it was 5. All in all, next year, like I said, I'm kind of doing this on the whim. For next year, we're going to, they're hoping that to present more scholarships. And in order to do that, we definitely need the help of you, the listener, as well as anyone else that you may know who'd be willing to contribute. So if you're willing to contribute something to the scholarship program, you can send a donation to blackskeptics@gmail.com. That's blackskeptics@gmail.com. And they're hoping to expand for next year so that they can give out scholarships in other cities as well. You know, here at Black Freethinkers, you know, we're all about giving back to the community. It's not all about us sitting here and discussing things that can be done, but it's about going out and doing things that can improve our community and showcase the fact that you don't need God and religion in order to do that. Kim, is that the show for Sunday, the polyamory? I'm not sure if that's the show or whatnot. I actually didn't check that. Friday. Okay, so Friday the show is actually going to be on polyamory. I apologize for that. Polyamory this Friday with M and Evil, aka Mario and Emily. So make sure you check that out. It'll be a great show, and it's definitely a subject that's definitely taboo for a lot of folks. That's about all I got to say there. Hey William, did you want to read that monologue you had? Did you want to read that now?
Man. Yeah, but I didn't want to introduce it like that. All right. Yes.
I didn't know how to really get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna work on that, making things flow smoothly. All right. All right. How?
I actually just remembered. I was about to just jump into the crossfade, And then
it
just popped in my head, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I should just
we're gonna work on opening the show. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so now you guys know it was a monologue. I was just going to deliver it as if it was off the cuff, but now you know that I wrote it. Oh, jeez. Oh, that takes the weight out of it. All right. Oh, jeez. Ah, man. Okay, let me try to... This happened before. I get really badly thrown off. Well, actually, let's cut to the crossfade. Into the current news.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess I'm about to take over the mic once more. Okay. So the big story over the last couple days dominated news and news and headlines everywhere, all across the United States, and even internationally, has been the murder trial of George Zimmerman, who on Saturday night, I want to say roughly around between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, the jury finished deliberating, the verdict came in, and he was found to be acquitted. He was found not guilty. Much to the dismay of many people, myself included, as well as Kim and Raina and a few of the other folks who do shows here. I didn't participate in any of the dialogues that were had on the other shows because I took a little bit of time and I wanted to kind of let it marinate. As soon as the verdict came in, I kind of, you know, I sent out a couple tweets and I sent out a couple Facebook statuses and, you know, just kind of vented out because there were things that were coming to my head because I was annoyed. I was upset. I was visibly upset. But rather than, you know, really put, you know, keep throwing that anger out into the universe, I sat and let it marinate on me. And as well, and in addition to that, I wanted to put everything I wanted to say together. And I wanted to put it together in a way where I can articulate it that gets it out of my system to where I really won't have to say anything else about the subject after this point. I mean, granted, I probably will because I'm an opinionated guy. And things I don't really let things die very easily. But I really wanted to kind of flesh out everything I had to say on the subject, which is, simply put, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And truthfully, I even find it kind of hard to be disappointed because I'm not surprised. Because it just goes to show that no matter how far we've come or that we think we've come, that all in all, America has just been running in place. America's been running on the treadmill for 50 years under the illusion that we've actually ran miles and that we're actually farther ahead on issues than we think we are, than we act like we are. But the fact is, we're not. And truthfully, the defeatist in me really started to revisit those Garveyite thoughts I used to have a few years back, to where being here really served no purpose, and that honestly, it might be better if everyone just left, if we all just packed up our shit and rolled out. Said, you know what, America, if this is how you want to roll, this is not, you know, this is not how I get down, you can have this country. I started to go down that route, and even at this very moment, I still kind of feel that way. I still kind of feel like, you know, it might be better to just roll out and leave. But then the other side of me started chiming in, and I started to think, I've never really been one to give up. And even though giving up may not always be a sign of weakness, in this case, I feel like I have to fight. I have to keep going. And truthfully, we all have to. And that's probably the biggest thing I take away from this. You know, in the wake of the verdict being read, protests erupted all over the United States. Everywhere from Florida, there were thousands in New York City, there were hundreds here in D.C., there were hundreds gathered all over the country, all because they were outraged. All because they were upset that 50 years after Emmett Till, America once again showed us that it's okay to murder young black children, especially when they haven't done anything wrong. That's how the verdict read. The fact of the matter is, if we're all going to really start to make a difference here, we really have to channel this anger into something constructive. Over the past couple years, we've seen countless examples of America saying, fuck you to our children. The Genesis, they said, fuck you to them. They said, fuck you to Oscar Grant. They said, fuck you to Troy Davis. They said, fuck you to Trayvon Martin, to Rekia Boyd. And the other, they said fuck you to the hundreds of thousands of millions of black children that are filling these prison cells. It's been a constant reminder. They said fuck you to all of them. So now, if we really want to make a difference, I feel like we really have to use our collective voices and actually do something about it. We can't do like we did the Gen of Six, where we rode the emotion and then the movement kind of died out. We can't ride the emotion of Troy Davis, where we were really passionate and then all of a sudden, you know, there was no consensus on what we should do. We can't do that for Oscar Grant. And granted, this doesn't apply to everyone, because I know myself and plenty of others have kept these black people in our thoughts and in our minds and in our writings and in our movements. We haven't forgotten. But it's up to us to channel the anger and the emotion that others are feeling in order to do something about this. That's what we really need to do. There are countless protests being held all over the country this Saturday. I would say Google search, find one, and go down there and protest. Let your voice be heard. But don't forget, the fight can't end when you leave the protest, and the fight can't end the second you finish writing this blog post, just like my fight won't end when I finish this monologue or after this show ends. This fight is continuous, and we all have to keep each other motivated, and we have to inspire each other, and we have to keep going. We have to keep pushing. Because while moving away may be the easier, may even be the better decision to make, that doesn't mean that we should, while we're still here and while most of us can't, you know, just up and leave, that we shouldn't seek justice for those who are here. We can't just give up on them. That's not our responsibility. That's my call to arms to us. And one other thing to be said is that, and I'm going to bring this up during our topic later on, educate each other, inform each other. It doesn't do anybody any good to tear each other down for not knowing things or for not being informed of other injustices that are going on or for focusing on one specifically. We all have our battles to fight. And we all know what we're good at. We all can't fight every injustice everywhere, but a couple of us can fight each injustice and make sure that justice can be brought. that's pretty much all I've got to say on that. You got to do something. So, that being said, I'm going to use that as a pretty good transition into another one topic that came out today, which is John Spooner, 76-year-old man from Milwaukee, shot a 13-year-old, Darius Simmons, last year. His case wasn't widely publicized. It didn't get a lot of media attention. And truthfully, I didn't even learn of it until not too long ago. But that just goes to show you that we need to inform others so that stories like these can get the attention that they deserve. John Spooner was found guilty today. He's found guilty for shooting this 13-year-old kid who he accused of robbing his home. He confronted this 13-year-old kid who was simply taking the trash out. He approached him with a shotgun and accused him of stealing from him. And even when he said he didn't do anything, it didn't really matter. And John Spooner shot Darius. A mother lost her son that day. And then, on top of that, when the cops arrived, they not only harassed Darius' mother, they then arrested Darius' older brother for an unrelated crime that had nothing to do with the events that had taken place. So, in the wake of the Zimmerman trial, and in the wake of that, you know, being a wake-up call, or maybe a reminder, I should say, we should take a little bit of time to enjoy the fact or to raise our heads a little bit at John Spooner was found guilty for a similar crime, for murdering a young black child. And he is going to do time. That's one positive that has definitely come out over the course of the last couple of days. Hey, William, you still there? William? Father Teresa?
Yes. Uh-oh, oh, my audio went out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Technology. I was sitting. I was just talking to the air for a second there. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that ought to be life there. Yeah, boy, they said he's 76 years old.
Yeah, 76-year-old.
Yeah, just throw him in the clink until he breaks. Yeah, he's already an irrelevant mammal. Yeah, toss that one in a cage. It's dangerous to the other mammals out there. And also, being an honor student while black, good way to get your teeth knocked out. It certainly is these days. Honors student inexplicably beaten by police and awoke spitting her teeth out on the ground. Oh, these websites love to load up the flash on you. And it was kid out there went out there to Denny's, hanging out with some of her friends, and they see a fight. They're not in the fight. They see the fight. The police show up and just. You know, they go after the black kids and start beating up the black kids. She tries to intervene and help her friends, and she gets bashed out. And it's like, I mean, you knock out someone's teeth, that is some kind of cruelty there, to bust up a person's teeth. Like that's another person that just ought to get thrown in the clink. Like, what's it like? You're broken. You can't be in society amongst the normals because you are dangerous.
Right.
We give these people badges and guns.
That just goes to show, like, when it comes to blacks and minorities in particular, it's never innocent until guilty. It's never innocent until proven guilty. It's guilty because I said so. Especially when you have these cowards with badges, aka the cops, out here basically profiling and criminalizing innocent black folks just for being there.
Well, it's not it's not guilty or innocent. Don't fall for the word game. It's not guilty or innocent. It is white supremacy is what it is, and you, as a person of African descent, are an inferior mammal, and sometimes they have to pull the paddy rollers out on you. You know, the paddy rollers, or you might call them in old days you would say slave patrol, and they're there to stop particularly black males, because most black females were busy nursing or working, but like black males that tried to escape, or males that may have been freed but didn't have their freedom papers, then they had to get stopped and checked, and that's what's happening, and that's what happened with Baby Skittle, the little homie Trey Trey, got caught out there with OG Killer Zimmerman. He didn't have his papers when the paddy roller showed up, and you know the way he called him a creepy ass cracker. Well, you know he was the one cracking the whip on this social plantation, so yeah, he actually was a cracker that was creeping around. And then yes, and then you also have good old Wells Fargo there. You gotta love how the banks do things. They say no to a kidney transplant because his checks were too old. So they shut down. So a person is going to die at 49 years old because he has money, but Wells Fargo says, we don't like your money. Your money is, look at the ink is fading. Fuck that money. $11,800 that this guy had in a safe deposit box when he retired. Like he was ready to chill. And Wells Fargo said, fuck your checks. And it's like that money existed, so that money's somewhere. So I guess that just went to somebody's yacht maintenance budget. And then, of course, you get over in England, I believe being transgendered is now called pretending to be a boy. Therefore, it was a lesbian relationship. So a teenager is in jail right now because of that. I think she was going by the name of Scott. And she was 17 years old, and she was with somebody who was 16 years old. They're a couple of teenagers, and, you know, they're getting it on, doing what the teenagers do, and bam, in jail for that because you're not transgendered, you're pretending to be a boy. That is our species right now in the news. And what was that other one? Oh, Texas State Representative Jody Laudenberg. She authored the anti-abortion bill, right? And then she argued that there shouldn't be prenatal care because they aren't born yet. Cognitive dissonance. You need it sometimes.
Yep.
You saw that one?
I didn't see that one. What exactly? Oh wait, the transgender, right?
Nah, the one with the lady that said, because she wants to save the fetus, but she's against prenatal care because they aren't born yet. So it's like we're seeing it as a baby because we don't want you to have an abortion. But when you need health care for it, that's not a baby. That's a zygote. What are you, nuts? Like, you gotta love these people. That's why it comes down to what I think one of those kids on the Young Turks said, deep down, all they really want to do is punish women for enjoying sex and not having one of Jesus' babies for it. And then
that's
you have your... your They just don't like the fact that you are enjoying sex and not getting pregnant from it and staying in that kitchen while the big, strong man goes to work and takes care of the family. Because that's supposed to be men's punishment, right, in Genesis. Like, your punishment is to go hang out with other guys doing productive stuff. That's not a punishment. That's patriarchy. Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Like, don't try to bullshit a smart guy. And you have the Tea Partier, the woman that says if you abort a rapist baby, you should serve the same amount of time as the rapist. It says, here's a disturbing moment of Tea Party insanity thanks to the horribly uninformed and hyperbolic news director of the Tea Party News Network, Scotty Hughes. Hughes commits one logical fallacy after another while lying through her tea-stained teeth about abortions in America and the women who have them. She thinks a fertilized egg is a baby and life begins at conception. And at the 5:18 mark of the video that we're not going to play because this is a podcast and we can't play a video, it gets real nasty when John Fugelsang asks the deranged Tea Party, let's say Roe v. Wade is overturned and abortion becomes illegal. If a woman is raped and she goes to a doctor and the doctor terminates the pregnancy, please tell me who deserves the longest jail sentence, the rapist, the doctor, or the woman, in order. And the Tea Party person answered, across the board, equal. All three of them should get the same amount of time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's a different type of apathy. You know what? No, it's not a different type of apathy. It's the same thing that we've seen going on with this species. There's that irony when it's a woman saying this. And it's like, really? Like, as a male, I what up?
I was going to say, all it is is another example that you don't have to be a man to openly embrace patriarchy or patriarchal thoughts. You don't have to be a man for that to be the case. You can be a woman, as is the case here. Because clearly when you have women attempting to police women's bodies, you have a problem. No one should be policing anyone else's body. Everyone should be able to do whatever they want with their body. But it also speaks to, you know, that one of the elephants in the room, sex, something that a lot of that old America just can't talk about, doesn't think is worth bringing up. You know?
Yeah. They're weirdos.
Yeah, I mean, until we can have open and honest conversations about sex, as well as, you know, racism and sexism and, you know, a myriad of other subjects, if we can't talk honestly about those, these are problems that are going to continue to persist. You know? A lot of these folks always have their eye on the wrong ball, you know? Instead of being worried about, you know, making sure that children are having safe sex so that they don't get pregnant or STDs or anything, you're just completely focused on the method that doesn't work. Don't have sex. If you have sex, you have to have the baby.
Yeah, like, punishment. Because right. You ate that fucking apple, because you let that goddamn snake talk you into that fucking apple, now it's your fault. You have that baby, Missy. You have it. Spit that unit out now, because we need more labor. And you know what ought to be said? I should say these words should be said, you know, just to the fellas, listen. You know what, and women, you can listen up to everybody, all right? Now, from what I understand, from little dudes on up to now, we were taught that you call girls pretty, and they smile and say thank you, and you've made their day, haven't you? Now, you've done a great thing for her by calling her pretty, didn't you? Or as comedian Chris Rock said his father taught him, you tell your mother how nice she's keeping the house or how good dinner is, because women need food, water, and compliments, quoting Chris Rock. And yeah, because, you know, that's what the women folk do, and that's what they value, right? But I'm not here to call cow feces. I'm going to declare bull shenanigans. And it's even more nauseating when we are in adulthood and you actually do find a woman intellectually impressive or highly competent or, dare I even say, elite at her job or career or just socially, to verbally reward her with, hey, that makes me find you attractive. That makes me want to date you or even marry you. Well, I'm making the logical assumption that the typical male delivering these wonderful compliments isn't a eunuch, asexual, or celibate. And we know that romantic companionships usually involve sex. And maybe I'm simplifying, and I'm not. But what you, the great man, what you're actually saying is, hey there, toots, you know, you talk so good that you deserve my fantastic penis over here. And now don't you feel special there, little lady? All that studying, earning degrees, establishing yourself, it finally paid off. You get to have my crotch. Now, frankly, I have little to no hope for the human species, particularly aging adults. But if there's a young feller out there listening, and if you have a female classmate or coworker, and she's particularly impressive, compliment her on that and let that be that. And if you really do find her attractive, well, that could be your gosh darned icebreaker to have further conversation. She might go with you for a cup of coffee. Because maybe like the other dude, you didn't just intellectually wave your penis at her because that's what she earned for doing a good job for you. Now here with MC Brooks, that is MC Brooks, master of ceremonies. He moves the crowd. He's a microphone controller. I even heard he makes contact. And the MC does rap, gets into that verbal conversation. So the MC is a rapper. And the MC has a new verse, doesn't he? I think he does. And before we go into that, just to remind you, if you're listening on your PC or your smartphone, you can do that. Blog Talk Radio does work on your smartphone. You can also dial up and turn down your Martha Fracking speakers for 310-982 and 4273 to get through. Went through the crossfade. Let's go ahead and dip into the overflow. MC Brooks, please bless these people. Show them how it's supposed to be done.
All righty. Well, this is a verse I just wrote actually a couple of days ago when I was in that weird space kind of taking in everything that happened from the Zimmerman trial as well as a couple other news stories. Like, I got inspired. And I wrote something it's going to be part of a larger completed project, but here goes. The world is a scary place. I got a scary face with no pair of aces to balance the deck. I'm college educated with knowledge of the problems we're facing, the nation where the damage is kept. In a cycle where they tell us that we're our biggest rivals, but also that we're tribal and the customs are bad. Until they're stripped naked and then appropriated and made into a spectacle, our customs are fad. I'm a threat to my community since there ain't no unity. Violent by nature, we bond over the eulogy. Ain't no future for you and me. That's why I'm boxed in together with my government cheese and GMO tox. Awesome. The life I'm blessed with, a dead end, jaguar nature like Leftwich. In the jungle where Roman rumbled, the world around us crumbled and we're surfing through the wreckage, see? I'm also a threat to society. It's okay for them to lie to me about equality, poverty, non-existent. Just the middle class, through wage middle pass, through discriminate policy. Divide and conquer. Willie Lynch's wet dream, the lettuce fake, but it soaked the mattress on the bedspring. Careful not to let the bed bugs bite. A swig of red drum should normalize the dead thing. Unless you're used to them, that's my daily life, every day and night, kill for wrong, slay for right. But that's my nature, I guess that's why I'm here among my peers. Hell, they cheer at the way we fight. Coliseum, let the lions eat us. But we're the lions feeding on an interracial Jesus. It's in our nature, gotta find my papers. Human, gotta apply to be one.
I wonder if cats noticed at the beginning there where there was a one-syllable rhyme but then an inside three-syllable rhyme that carried over into the fifth bar and transitioned going into the eighth bar. You guys don't know, this shit is not easy. Like, when MCs sit down and write a rhyme, we're really writing some dope shit. Now you're like, you constantly hear cats that make zero contribution to hip hop that just start speaking up. And it's like, yes, you are free to have your opinion, but it is probably uninformed and it's very stupid. pay attention to those little things that the MC does. Like for me, I was tinkering, because, you know, I have that closing theme with the Black Free Thinkers, where we walk by sight with a bright flashlight. And it's like, you know, that's like earlier this year. Like, shows have changed. Like, on that one, I mentioned the barber shop. And it's like, well, now there's the breakbeat. So it's like, I got to update that. So I'll keep it G-Funk and work on it. Yo, Black Free Thinkers, the second half of the year, I threw a prayer in the air, the blessing hasn't been cleared. I haven't slacked on the mic, I kept the flow on smash. There's a star in Veter, so put the show on blast. We don't recruit, we're not peers from a church, so don't be spooked, we're not here to convert. The only truth, it's not pulled from a text. Show me proof that's not good after death. It's fourth wave feminism, but hold your questions. We got Rainer on the roads and she knows the lessons. I use my male privilege to repeat the knowledge, full bodily autonomy with no exceptions. A son and a daughter, they got on the team. The boy wants to be a captain when he walks on the scene. Yeah, he's a leader, it probably seems, but if the girl's in charge, she's bossy and mean. Now this is the challenge, to think for yourself and break it out of the bottle and speak what you felt. It's 310-982 and 4273 to get through. A venue for community and this is the zone. If you'd like to speak with Kim, then pick up the phone. It's 310-982 and 4273 to get through. My gay and lesbian folk caught a nice result, but what about my father mucking right to vote? I might raise about my cozy little fucking nest and raise awareness in the hood where they might invoke. Hold up, who are they? Would you like to know? Confederate electorates that think your life's a joke. The gerrymandering your district with the quickness to politically slice your throat. So step up despite the tropes. And I'm still fleshing that out. So, like, what you get to be, like, right there, you get to be a fly on the wall as an MC is, like, developing something. Like, you see, like, those last bars, like, I'm going to cut syllables here and add syllables there and sort of work on it. Well, where should I go next, Brooks? I'm going to do one more verse. Should I go filthy or should I keep it clean a little bit?
Hey, go for broke. That's how we do on here.
All right, let's get disgusting. Yo. Peep the actual seas that'll reach and capture each and every one of you sees complete disaster. Leave them weak in the knees, I delete and smash it. The freezing temperature leaves all your teeth and fractures. These were the words of a person confused, the syllable structure I was learning to use. It was all about the battling and that was an image. Imagine rapping with the Alec when I had to present it. Yes. Yo. Let's go somewhere else. Yo. Now, I was never encouraged to trip. The vertical pitch is urban, extensive shit like word to my click. I'm sniffing rubber cement in the convertible bent with the burgundy blunt wrapping. The herbal that's dense, the purple I pinch has me in focus, working defense. Serving up pictures of pain is my perfect abyss. Lately, I'm known for stirring up shit with dirt that I kick in the eyes of the haters with the murderous hits. I was serving them quick, I swerve and I dip. How many months I held the club down? You heard it was 6. Troop executive on them Lutheran University kids. 2 consecutive foolish wins cause I was verbally sick. I never lost my cool, you never heard me get bent, cause I seen it all before. You rhyme that nursery shit while I'm hanging off a canyon by your mercury cliff. Drop hot shit, turn and take a third degree piss. This is the breakbeat. And remember, the breakbeat was the first thing the MC rhymed to, and it was the first thing that the B-boy did a head spin to. The breakbeat is where your hip-hop started. God damn it.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite.
Right, that's just something you ought to know.
See, the bars we just kicked, that's the shit that got your head nodding, got your head spinning, make you hit repeat on your MP3 player, CD player, or have that shit on loop on your iTunes or Windows Media Player. But, you know, we got some of these whack cats out here dropping their candy bars and whatnot. They think shit's sweet, but that shit expired. It ain't no good. First thing that comes to mind whenever I hear some of these bars, come on, son. Step your
come
shit
on,
up.
Son.
That's the first, and that's the first thought that comes to mind. And we use that as a dope little segue into our final segment prior to jumping into tonight's topic, Come On Son, which is obviously a segment that we use to highlight ridiculous things that have gone on in the news or ridiculous things that have happened over the course of the past 2 weeks, that the second that they happen, the first thing that comes up is, come on, son, really? So, actually, you know, William, I'll let you take the lead on this one. I'll let you start this off, and then I'll jump on right behind you.
I where I live. I live in the Confederate state. I'm in the Old South, because no matter what year it is, it's always the Old South. And I work kind of antisocial. I get to just walk around with my punk ass clipboard in and out of refrigerators, counting shit, throwing boxes around. So I get to have my headphones on. You know, I'm behind the scenes. You don't even know I exist there. But like when you have your headphones on, sometimes your coworkers, they get to talking, and it's interesting to hear two Republicans talking to each other when they don't think you can hear them. That's when you hear things like, yeah, we shouldn't even worry about the black vote because they're always just going to vote Democrat to get welfare, right? And then you're going to hear another one making a joke about capitalism memes that he saw online, and they actually go about how gerrymandering is good, as I've mentioned that before in the verse on the new Black Freethinkers theme I'm working on, and that they actually want these things. And these are young guys. They're in their mid to late 20s. And then in all irony, now I know that this is how these guys get down, and you're not even supposed to talk about this stuff at work, but God damn it, we F up and joke around about it sometimes. And one of them, like, he was exercising, you know, he's trying to get in shape. And I'm like, hey, why don't we go ahead and arm wrestle, you know, maybe 30 days, give you time to work on those little toothpick arms. I could floss with those damn things. And go ahead and arm wrestle, and then if I lose, you can take a Sharpie marker and write YOLO on my face. But if I win, I get to put LOL on your Romney Ryan bumper sticker, because the election had already happened and he's still riding around with that Romney Ryan bumper sticker, and I really want to put LOL on it. And that's the backstory with that character. Well, about two fortnights ago, I'm just shooting the shit with this cat, and I find out that he just recently got off welfare. Like, the whole time that he's joking around about this capitalism and talking about the blacks just vote Democrat to get welfare, he just got off food stamps, and only because his girlfriend is making more money now, because his last review didn't earn him a raise, and he's finally about to move out of his mother's house. Come on, son. Like, you are the 47%er. That your big homie Bishop Romney was talking shit about at the sex party house before you went and voted for him. You fucking
right.
Goof.
But you know, most Republicans, they're not really all that interested in helping the lowers or the minorities. Like the fact that he's white, I'm assuming, right?
he's the ultimate white. He's fucking blonde.
It's kind of similar to finding that even among what most would consider white trash, you know, people, you know, the white people who are poor white people, like, even they still practice racism, even though they experience economically the same shit that blacks do. But it just goes to show that even if you put them in the same economic situation, they still manage to look down at blacks and African Americans and other people. That's what makes them feel good about themselves. When they have someone that they can step on. They don't wanna admit that there are black people or minorities that are doing better than them. That's why they cling to that white privilege. They cling to it like their life depended on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Trip me out. Like,
they
got off the checks. And you know what? And before he got hired, he said himself, "I was just sitting around watching the Casey Anthony trial collecting unemployment." Like, that's what he was doing before he got hired, which is why he was very very portly when we hired him. But then he started shaping up, and that's when I wanted to arm wrestle him. I almost said wrestle. Show you where I'm from. I don't talk good. That's why we got to do intellectual elitism, because folk that talk like me. And you know what else? Come on, son. Short one. Newt Gingrich referred to the protesters as a lynch mob. You got to love the projectionism with these folks. Like, they are going against this old school idea of having lynch mobs or paddy wagon guys coming out snatching them up. So he just, we're going to call you a lynch mob. We're going to persecute people and say that you're persecuting us Christians. Nah, the Gingrich.
But here's the thing. I don't, in Gingrich's case, I wouldn't even blame that. I wouldn't even make that the Christian thing. That's just white people in power thing. Whenever minorities get upset about something, that's usually the first thing. They want to equate it as if what we're upset about is the same reason that white folks used to have lynch mobs and used to get upset about before. And the truth is they're not the same at all. But that just goes to show that, you know, white people want to be victims so bad. They really want to be victims. Like I would say white people want to be victims almost as bad as they want to say nigger.
I say that's almost. The folks at the lower end. You know, like, that's the folks that are kicking in the shekels to the folks at the top. Yeah, I think the folks at the top are, I think they're a bunch of cold, for lack of a better term, heartless sociopaths. That they really just, they are very well aware of their divide and conquer strategic behavior. And it's really it's the foot soldiers on the bottom that really they fall for the victim teaching and for the victim doctrine, if you will. You know, it's just like the folks on the abortion side. Like, I can see why big corporations dump money into ALEC quietly, the American Legislative, Jesus Christ Council, and you know, and then run that back through to politicians because they know what the effects would be. You know, if more 16-year-old poor girls get pregnant, drop out of school, and then just take a welfare check and work at Walmart, and then they dump your kid in a privatized school, pipeline that to a privatized prison, well, then they're just kind of keeping you down and keeping you in the class that you're supposed to be in. But the foot soldiers on the ground that hear the talking points, those are the ones that are actually like, it's a baby. Because that's why when you ask them questions, like somebody did if you ever look at that Upworthy website where they like to post, like, positive videos, and they had one where a guy was just asking the foot soldiers, how much jail time should the mother do for the abortion? And they were all like, I hadn't thought of that. Because they know they don't want to. Because they realize that they've just been falling for the talking points, and they let themselves get riled up. Like, they're pretty much running on excitement. If they stop that this exciting language, then these people won't be excited anymore, and they can go back to watching the home run derby or whatever nerdy thing they're doing, going bowling or something.
Hey, whoa.
Yeah, I just did bowling. I did.
Whoa. Hold up. Before I even do my come on, son, I gotta give you a come on, son. I used to bowl for 4 years, dog. I'm not gonna let people disrespect bowling, son. I got my strike ball, my spare ball. I got custom shoes. I got my own towel so I can rub the oil off. I got the chalk pillow so that I can make sure my fingers are all good. Like, I got the whole nine. I come prepared, so we ain't going to throw any shade at bowling right now, for the record.
Bowling!
We're not going to do that. Maybe on another show, but tonight we're not going to throw any shade. We're not going to throw any shade at bowling.
You just the library is open, if I may borrow some terminology from the drag community. Yes, this is all tea, all shade. How young are you, and you are this entrenched in this old beer drinking man culture?
Son, we're not throwing any shade at Bowling B.
How long have you been an extra from an episode of Married with Children? You went out there with Al Bundy and the No Ma'am crowd out to the bowling tournament?
Wait. Hold on, I'm still caught up on the Married. I'm still caught up on the Married with Children thing. Hold up, time out. First of all, yes, I'm 25 years old. I've been bowling since I was in high school. Okay? I bowled for 4 years. Had a playoff caliber team, all of that. And I won
You hear that,
boys.
Folks? He's been bowling since high school, where he once scored 4 touchdowns in a single game. He did.
No, but nah. Like I said, we ain't gonna throw no shade, but. Who I will throw some shade at are these black folks. They're black. You know, everyone knows. A couple weeks ago, what happened to Paula Deen, and we had a whole nice little segment. I believe that was our first show on Paula Deen, and the sheer hilariousness that came from Black Twitter as far as she was concerned. Well. It seems like there were some people out here who didn't get the memo, missed the bus, woke up late for work, something. They for some reason didn't seem to fully grasp the Paula Deen situation. So there's a site out here right now called Blacks for Paula Deen. They're going to be protesting in New York. I want to say August 2nd. I believe it's August 2nd. They're gonna protest in New York to show that there are black people who are gonna stand in solidarity with Miss Paula, and they're gonna show that we forgive her and it's okay for her to say nigger, because obviously for these people that was the biggest thing that they were worried about. Now, if these people are an example of self hate, I don't know what the hell. I mean, for one, they're over here defending Paula Deen, who openly admits to everything that happened with the lawsuit. And then he even was on, the Today Show giving her BS answers and whatnot, looking like a freaking carrot and shit. I imagine her top. Like, but that's beside the point. These people are ridiculous. They get my come on, son. Second people who get my come on, son, the jurors. Because this group of 5 white women and one biracial woman who I've seen described as an Afro Latina, not really sure how accurate that is, but they get a come on, son, because for some reason, in fact, you know what? I won't even throw all the jurors under the bus, even though they all found Zimmerman not guilty. I'm going to just throw juror B37 under the bus, because she had an interview with Anderson Cooper on Monday, and I'm not sure if deliberating for 12 hours made her constipated, but on Monday, she was so full of shit, I wanted to send her an X-lax. Like, seriously. I hadn't heard answers that terrible since I took the SAT. Okay? Like, of all the people that sympathize, like, her answers just flat out showed me that Trayvon never had a chance. That boy, he never had a chance with them. He never had a chance. Because she sympathized. His heart was in the right place. You know what? A lot of people's hearts are in the right places for a lot of shit, and they still do fucked up stuff. So his heart may have been in a good place. You know what? I'm sure Hitler had only the best for Germany, you know? I'm sure he did. I'm sure the KKK had, you know, they wanted to preserve America. They had good in their hearts for that. You know, I'm sure those cops that shot Oscar Grant were, you know, I'm sure they were just looking out for the safety of everybody, despite the fact that this black man was handcuffed and laying stomach down, face down on the ground. You know, I'm sure cops were really worried about Amadou Diallo when he's pulling out his wallet. Like, but let me not rant, because I feel myself starting to get to that place again, about to be a little bit more Malcolm X than MLK, if you know what I'm saying. But that's besides the point. She gets to come on some for that, and then I will give the entire jersey come on some, because right now they're bickering in the media. They're bickering in the media. B37 is like, oh, this is this, and then today, the other four white jurors were like, okay, look, she's crazy. Whatever she said, that's her. That ain't us. And then B37 responds to them. It's just ridiculous. Like seriously, if you guys are really trying to put it behind you, shut up. That's all I gotta say. Just shut up. Don't say anything. Don't write any books. Don't write any editorials. Don't tweet. You know, don't have casual conversations. Just shut up and go about your business. You're good. Get out of here. Enjoy people not knowing who you are. Because if you see an episode of Catfish, people can find you. And they will find you. That's besides the point. That's neither here nor there. All right, it's 9:01. We are one minute past our first hour. Now we're going to jump into the main topic for tonight, intellectual elitism, or rather elitism in the intellectual community, however you want to say it. So we're gonna jump into this. This side is gonna run. We're gonna talk for a little bit. We're gonna go over some definitions. Just kind of discuss what this term means. Then we'll open up the phone lines. Like, we have a few people listening in at the moment, but I say feel free to press one. We will bring you in when we get ready. We will bring you on as we get ready to bring callers on. So if you have stuff to say, let it marinate, you know, kind of let it simmer in and you know, hit that one, and when we're ready, we will definitely bring you guys on. Now,
yeah,
this is an interesting
and turn your
subject.
Speakers down.
Oh yeah, that's definitely important. Make sure it's like mute your computers. We don't, you know, I don't need reverb. I have enough of that when I open my Fruity Loops, all right? Now, this segment, I've been thinking about doing this show for a really long time. And in fact, it was actually supposed to be our second show, but in the wake of Paula Deen, I really wanted to address that, so I kind of pushed it back a little bit until right now. But now I feel like, you know, now is a good time to address certain things that I definitely see in the atheist and overall intellectual community, and my concept of that only reaches as far as the people I interact with and some of the minds that I follow and that I greatly respect. So I'm not speaking for everyone who is a part of this community, seeing as I don't know everyone. And obviously, a lot of the things that will be said tonight will not apply to everyone. So these are things that I want to establish right now. You know, I'm not associating this term with all of the intellectual community, but there are people who do practice a sort of elitism or act that way. And I see it. I'm sure plenty of other people see it as well. Now, for the purpose of the show, we're going to refer to folks as intellectual elitists. We're not going to call them snobs. We're not going to deride them or call them any other type of name. That's not how we're going to run things here. So, before I really break into anything, let's start out with the definition. I took this definition from Wikipedia. It's kind of long, but I feel like it actually encompasses everything that needs to be said. Elitism is the belief or attitude that some individuals with a certain ancestry, intrinsic quality or worth, higher intellect, wealth, specialized training, experience, or other distinctive attributes are greater than that of others, whose views on the matter are to be taken more seriously or the most seriously or carry the most weight, whose views or actions are most likely to be constructive to society as a whole, or whose extraordinary skills, ability, or wisdom render them especially fit to govern. So you can bind all that down into someone who simply believes that they are better, but it definitely goes a bit deeper than just believing that you're better, because that's a general statement. It's believing that you're better in every way possible or in a certain field. Now, this is not to say that there are not people in certain fields who will know more about you on the subject. I don't know anything about neuroscience. I know nothing about neuroscience. You know, Raina, friend of the show, and my personal friend for the last couple of years, knows a lot about neuroscience. I would never speak on neuroscience matters because I know nothing about it. Generally, I would refer to her. I know that she knows more about the subject. Therefore, she's someone I would definitely go to as far as the subject is concerned. So in that instance, yes, she knows more than me. She would be more fit in this case. I would not consider an elitist. Because that her having the knowledge doesn't mean she thinks that she's better. It just means that she knows more. That there's a fundamental difference there. Now, with the definition that I listed, you have people in the intellectual community. You have people in the intellectual community who believe that not only that they themselves are better, but believe that they should be the sole authority on certain matters because of their intellect. That they believe because of their privilege, and they are privileged to know what they know, that they are better than other people who either cannot articulate as well as them, or do not know as much on a certain subject, or do not have the vast amount of knowledge that they have on this subject. Now, the reason that this becomes a problem, or as far as I'm concerned, is that having knowledge is great. It's always good to be informed and to know things. I will never discourage anybody from educating themselves, from learning new things, from aspiring to learn new things, and for thinking outside the box, or thinking as if there is no box. I will never discourage anyone from that. A problem arises when obtaining that knowledge or having that knowledge makes you think that you have the authority to talk down to other people, or because people may not articulate themselves as you see fit, or may not say something in the way that you agree with, that you have license to talk down on them, to almost dehumanize them, treat them as if they are your lesser than, your, you know, an other to you. That is when I believe that it's a problem. Now, sorry, Father Teresa, my man. When you hear the term intellectual elitism, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Yeah, you know what, that one, that's like when you first hear something like patriarchal bargain. Like your first thought is like, you know what, I get it, but I'm not sure if I get it, so maybe I should read about it to make sure I got it. And you kind of get it. And then I find areas where even if it's not intellectual elitism, it is somewhere elitism where I find that in myself, like in hip hop, I'm shamelessly
elitist. I can't wait to tell a whack MC that they are not allowed, that they do not belong, that you are the other, and I would probably make legislation against you. Yeah, I've practiced that too, and yeah, I guess it's kind of like that. I'm naturally smarter than you, or I'm trained beyond you. It still seems to be that's like a pseudoscience, maybe. But then again, that makes you think of scientism. It's like, because I just threw out that magic word, science. And yeah, intellectual elitism. Yeah, when you sent that, I was like, I'm about to, he's going to learn me something. And I think, and it's part of what, you know, that cognitive dissonance when you hear the, let me say, I'm not some super pro-Obama guy, but when you hear the anti-Obama guys, like they're going to throw out the racial stereotype, lazy, you know, doesn't know how to be a real American. Then you mention he went to Harvard. Like, well, he's just a fucking elitist. Yeah, it's and it's that idea of thinking he's looking down his nose at you. And even worse, that's a Negro looking down his nose at you, looking down his big, wide nostrils at you, like he's better than you, breathing up all the white man's air. Let me know, I can't go on quoting Dave Chappelle here, but yeah. And but then you notice at that at the DNC when old Billy Clinton got up there, and he just had a good old country time. He kept it simple. He even had a catchphrase, I got another job score for you. Like, he just made it fun, and it was easy for everyone to understand what he was saying. You know, every time Obama talks, someone has to get a dictionary. What the fuck was that word? You know, and then that's when Obama came out. Remember what he said? I want to make him Secretary of Explaining Stuff. So sometimes maybe not being, you know, being the fancy talker, the big fancy book learned and fancy worded talker, maybe that's not always the best way to go, because most people are not they're watching Honey Boo Boo, man.
True, but it is important to note, and this just kind of brings me back to a discussion. I was having in one of my Black atheist groups on Facebook, speak to the subject. We were discussing Rachel Jontel, obviously the friend of Trayvon Martin, and someone mentioned the fact that Tom Joyner was going to. Had offered her a scholarship to any HBCU of her choice, and would not, you know, and that's obviously a great thing, you know, that's definitely a positive, you know, college is pricey as hell these days, and the vast majority of Americans go into debt, you know, trying to go, and you know, I kind of looked at it as an act of goodwill on Tom Joyner's part. You know, this young woman who's had to deal with the loss of her friend and then be criticized by not only the media but by people in our own community. You know, I saw it as a positive thing. But one reoccurring theme that I saw throughout, you know, ever since she first took the stand, and I saw this all across my social networks, and I saw this, I even heard about it in conversations I had outside, where that, you know, there were people who were making guesstimations about her intelligence based on how she speaks or how she spoke, and even after the fact that we found out English is actually her third language, even after finding that, people still wanted to throw out things about her intelligence, because the way she speaks, you can obviously tell that she's not intelligent, or, you know, she didn't talk in complete sentences, therefore she's obviously less intelligent. And, you know, me and a couple other folks, you know, we definitely came to her defense in this thread, like, you know, you can't make that assumption about somebody, you know what I mean? You can't make that assumption about someone's intelligence just because they talk in a manner that you may not like or that you yourself don't understand, that's not a reflection of their intelligence at all. You know, Rachel is out, you know, she's 19 years old. She's going to be a college graduate soon. And, you know, it's, you know, she's obviously doing better for herself. If anyone who listened to her on Piers Morgan on Monday, you know, did she speak the Queen's English? No, of course not. But you know what? Lots of black youth speak like she does, and they're all very intelligent. I've worked with quite a few when I was still working my old job with a nonprofit, and I worked with lots of minority kids who spoke slang and they listened to Lil Wayne and, you know, they liked to party and have fun and do all that. I mean, they were kids, but all of that stuff didn't really indicate how intelligent they were. They're all very bright kids, and it's the same thing here with Rachel. It just kind of got me to thinking. It just kind of got me thinking because I would see this fallacy throughout the various groups and throughout the interactions I would see. That, you know, people assuming things about other people's intelligence, you know, based on music they listen to, you know, who they choose to date, you know, the kind of shows that they watch on television, the type of activities they engage in their free time, or even just the way they speak, like, at the fact that the folks use slang language and slang terminology, I should say. And I've always thought that was ridiculous. I've always thought that was not fair. I've always thought that was not fair, and that these people are in no position to make these judgments about folks. You know, who are you to be looking down at someone and to treat them as if they are lesser than, or to say, or to act like they are not intelligent at all because they may do things that you may not like or you may think are beneath you. But who the hell are you? You know what I mean? Yo, you still there?
Yeah, nah, it's interesting, yeah. And it reminds me of what I heard him talking about, because, like, this is where I hear, like, terms that I've never heard before, I guess, terms and phrases I've never heard before. Like, I heard people were angry with, how do you pronounce her name over there, Rachel, how do you say that?
Yeah,
I can't
I've heard
say.
Two different pronunciations, but I would say Jontel.
Yeah, and they said, like, folks were mad at her because, excuse me, she wasn't code switching. Like, I guess, and I guess that's another one of those. Like, as soon as you hear it, bang, you automatically get what they're talking about. Like, I don't even need to look this up. I know what they're saying. They're talking about, it's almost like when you do, there was a GIF picture I remember seeing with Obama, and he was shaking some guy's hands. And then when he got to the black dudes, they did, like, the half handshake, half hug. And it was like, and they were like, that's code switching. And it's like, and because she couldn't do that when she stepped up on the stand, excuse me, like saying, like, you're going from the neighborhood to the office, and you switch up how you speak. And it's like, and they're angry with her for not being able to do that.
I've engaged in code switching. I've done it, and I realized that in some places it definitely has its place. In some places it may be necessary, because you can't talk. I mean, the reality is you can't talk to everybody the same way. I don't talk to my parents the same way that I talk to my friends. You know, I don't do
you
that.
You know what's really off-putting about using, like, the terms you called slang? It's like, because a lot of that is local vernacular. You know, you can't be a dude from Compton, California in 1991 and very easily communicate through predominantly speaking in vernacular to a dude from Brooklyn, New York. You know, like, I mean, it took some time. Like, you could hear hip-hop artists starting to communicate with each other and then later on collaborate, where, like, you had Redman collaborating with Spice One, and you had, like, MC8 collaborating with Method Man and what have you. It's like, so later on that could happen, but, you know, you can't just go into another neighborhood and speak the vernacular of your neighborhood. They're going to be like, what the fuck do you mean Pringles can? You know, or whatever vernacular you use to, you know, and they're like, what the hell is that?
Right. All right. I think Raina just called, well, she called in. I'm gonna bring her in on this. Raina.
I didn't put my hand down, but, I mean.
Okay, well, I can meet you then. That's fine.
I mean, no, I mean, I'm just listening to the conversation. You guys bring up some really good points, particularly with Rachel John Teal. You know, I think it's a great thing what Tom Joyner did. I mean, you know, giving her a scholarship and what have you. And, you know, I guess, it's a great that he's giving her that opportunity, particularly considering that, you know, she has struggled a bit, you know, in her education so far, you know, owing much of that to the fact that our education system is broken in the first place. I hope that Rachel John Teal goes to college and knocks it out the park. I hope she comes out, writes a book on social theory, and blows everybody out of the water. That's what I hope.
Right.
Rachel John Teal does. Because I think there's something there. I mean, you know, as some of the things that she said, you know, like, you know, in my mind were intelligent. You know, the fact of the matter is that regardless of whether or not you, as an individual, view a distinction between nigger and nigga is irrelevant. There is a sizable portion of the black population, particularly young people, who use the H-I-A, you know, as a term of endearment, as a way of, you know, interacting with other people, regardless of where it comes from, this is how it's being used. And for that reason, I mean, I thought that the way that she talked about it, she said, my generation, you know what I mean, as in to emphasize, like, whatever you may think, this is how we use it. You know what I mean? You know, I thought that was smart. And there were a lot of other things that she said that were really intelligent. So I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, what her life turns out to be. I think she has a really, you know, bright future ahead of her, and I hope that she'll stay motivated because even her going to college is not going to necessarily mean, you know, easy street from here on out. You know, she'll probably likely encounter many intellectual elitists at HBCUs, which are meant to serve underrepresented minorities who tend not to have access to primary and secondary education. So,
right.
I hope that she will be able to cope and that there will be people who are empathetic and supportive of her. You know, but yeah, I mean, you know, there's a difference, and you said something, you know, that was right earlier, there's a difference between, you know, having a knowledge base and thinking that you are an authority on everything, or thinking that you have authority in subjects where you're not even credentialed. You know what I mean? Like, if I were to have a conversation with you about physics, I know my limits. You know what I mean? There may be some things that I know for a fact are wrong. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to sit and have a conversation with someone regarding quantum theory, you know, for very long to begin with. But I certainly won't represent myself as an authority on that subject. And I do find that in a lot of sort of atheist free thinking circles, there tends to be quite a lot of individuals who kind of overstep their boundaries. You know what I mean? When it comes to these things, like they think they've read a couple of things or watched a couple of YouTube videos, then they now all of a sudden are able to explain things that even, you know, very well-renowned, you know, physicists have a difficulty explaining or difficulty sort of wrapping their minds around, you know? It's something that we have to, you know, keep in mind. You know, being an atheist or being a free thinker does not mean that you are all of a sudden intellectual. And we have to know our limits. You know, we have to know our limits.
I agree 110%. One thing, well, before I say my comment, it was a little hard to hear you in part. Is there some feedback in the background?
No, I don't think so.
I was getting a little bit of echo. Oh, no, it's gone now.
Okay.
I wasn't really sure who or what that was. Excuse me. But, you know, I agree with you 110%. I agree with you on everything you said. I mean, the important thing, like you said, it's important to know your limits. I think you said something just now, or maybe I'm just projecting. And I think you said something just a second ago about people claiming to understand things that even people who are well into their field don't understand.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yes.
That's actually a very great point. And you know what? It kind of brings up the conspiracy theorist angle to this, because if anyone is guilty of this, and actually this, I guess I'm going to use intellectual elitism very loosely here, is them. You know, they think they give privy to this special knowledge, and they think that they're just so much better than everybody because they've got this special information.
Okay.
I mean, granted, not every conspiracy theorist is in that case. I mean, the fact that they know of certain things, you know, shows some level of intelligence to have some basic grasp of what it is, of what something is. Now, their problem is they do the same thing a lot of other elitists do, which is they get it and then they go on these rants and rambles about, you know, about how stupid everyone this is and how they're so much smarter than everybody.
Or
steepest.
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Right. I mean, because believe it or not, Raina, believe it or not, I saw something earlier today that I actually never thought I was going to see. The thought never even came to my mind until I saw it cross my Facebook timeline and I had to unfriend the person because I didn't realize that they could be this level of dumb. And that was me being an elitist just now. I don't really care. But someone posted earlier that the Trayvon, like the reason the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman altercation and trial was so, you know, so publicized and so out there was so the government could distract you from taking away your gun laws.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the worst things to happen to the American public is Jesse Ventura, I think. Jesse Ventura and, like, these, you know, like, Alex Jones are, like, the worst things to happen to, like, the American public, I swear. And a lot of people don't realize that this is where a lot of their stuff is coming from, too. But it is, you know, this sort of conspiratorial stuff. The main thing I think that distinguishes, I think, the Alex Joneses and their sort of, you know, I don't even want to call it intellectual elitism because they're not intellectuals.
That's
you know
what I'm using it very loosely. Very loosely there.
Yeah, but the thing that sort of characterizes the way that they sort of look down on others is that it's completely void of devoid of evidence. You know what I mean? Like, they're claiming these things to be true, but they cannot prove these things. They make one, you know, assumption after another, after another, after another, you know, or like they tie together things that are otherwise unrelated, you know what I mean, to make these links. It's all confirmation bias. It's all, you know, foolishness to be completely honest about it. But
right.
But they have a way of looking down on other people. It's like, you know, it's one of the ways that you can tell whether or not, you know, something that someone is saying is probably has some credibility to it is their willingness to provide you with sources. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If they're the more willing they are to provide you with sources, and I don't mean sources like, you know, I got this from Alex Jones,
YouTube.
Who got this from YouTube,
yeah,
who got
YouTube.
This from David Icke, who got this from, you know what I mean,
Info
somebody
Wars,
else. I don't mean those
yeah.
kind of sources. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, there was, you know, I got this from an investigative journalistic piece that covered this, this, and this. It cited these sources, blah, 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 blah. That's a good source. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, not that other stuff. You want someone who's going to be, you're going to want to be able to track the information yourself. And
right.
And that's kind of one way to tell.
But this is the other side of that. And this is another thing that lots of elitists in the intellectual community do, which is they don't share the information, you know? It reminds me when we used to go on the BP chat room and folks used to make ridiculous claims, and I'm like, well, show me where you got that from, and they'll say Google it, and I'm like, no, I want to read what you read. Like, that's what it should come down to. Like, let me read what you read that convinced you of this or that helped you to learn this. Let me read it so I can know too. That's what it should come down to. You shouldn't, don't hog the information. You know, don't hog it. Everyone, like, the thing about it is everyone isn't focused on everything at a time. Like, one of the stories that I mentioned earlier, you know, like, I hadn't heard about John Spooner and Darius Simmons. I've just heard about that. And that was another case that happened last year. I'm sure I could have been talking about it over the course of the past year, like I have with Jordan Davis and Rekia Boyd and Trayvon, had I known about it. But again, it was something that I hadn't really known about, and which goes to show why we need to, you know, share the information. You know, what good is having all of this information and you're not using it to help people? Don't use it to talk down to people. Like, yeah, you didn't know about this. Just say, you know, just instead of doing that, you could be like, hey, you know, here's another injustice that I found out about. You know, let's find out what we can do to help, you know, to make this right. That's what folks should be doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, William,
and
have you ever...
And that's why
Black
Black Freethinkers is a great program to listen to. Because we share information, and we're about bringing people, you know, towards solutions and helping the community. That's
shameless plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was that episode you did? What was that episode you did that on? I think it was like environmental justice.
Yeah, environmental justice. Which I
that's the name of it.
Future shows. Yeah, I think I did. I think it was called Environmental Justice.
Yeah, folks, go in the archives and look up Environmental Justice, and you know, play that while you're in your little garden cutting fresh chives or whatever it is you do. Yeah, yeah, that's good information. That's useful.
Have you seen any examples of the stuff me and Raina mentioned, you know, in your scrolling through Facebook.
Not much in the like if I go to pages of folks that I don't know, but not among like the folks that I interact with regularly. I shouldn't say I know them, people across the planet, but that I interact with on there. They don't do that, but when I go to like specific themed pages, and yeah, ones that where people identify as liberal or as conservative or as whatever they identify as, they sort of like they tend to have an alpha that has all the right words and mashes it together. And I think there's a lot of is the term absolutism? Maybe that's what I'm looking for. Where it's like to be with these around these kind of folks, you have to have a very specific what they call worldview. It's like I haven't seen the world. I don't have a worldview. There's a lot of things that there's a lot of information out there that I'm not going to retain because I don't need all that information. Like really, I can listen to atheists and Christians debate on evolution to the world's end, and I don't really need that information. Like, I live in patriarchy and capitalism. I don't need evolution to go to work and pay bills. Like, I think that's real. That sort of thing, that's just for folks where you might want to convince them to come to your church or try to, you know, free somebody from religion. And yeah, a lot of that information I don't need. So it's like it'd be easy to be intellectual elitist to me. I'll be the small guy that doesn't know all this stuff because I don't need to know all that stuff. I need to know good diet and good exercise mostly.
But
yeah, I also you do bring up a good point though, William, is that in certain circles, certain information or knowledge is given sort of priority or sort of a class or a grade that suggests that it's more important or more deserving of attention than others. Notice that in a lot of, particularly in some free thought groups that, you know, talking about patriarchy and social justice and all of these types of things is frowned upon because they find that they think, and maybe from their perspective it's true, they think that, evolution and things like that are more important. And the problem with that, though, is that they don't recognize that view comes directly from their privilege, you know?
Yep.
So, that's something else to keep in mind.
No, you're exactly
to be
right.
Able to
it
say that's irrelevant. You know, like my penis doesn't think that matters.
Yeah.
Like I had an exchange a while back on my Facebook page. I don't exactly remember. Don't remember what my status exactly was about, but I remember a white guy commented on it saying that, you know, if more people knew about, what did he say? I want to say, like, evolution or if more people were, no, that's what he said, if more people were educated in science, this race thing wouldn't matter.
Oh, yeah,
so
I think I saw
like,
that. I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
I think I know exactly what you're talking about. And when I saw it, I started shaking my head immediately because I was like, that is not true because let's just
be real here. White people particularly, because women and people of color for a long time have been excluded from the sciences, you know, be it that they were rigorously excluded, in times past, or, you know, excluded because of economics and education, you know. But the fact of the matter is that science has been something that white people could participate in for a very long time, and it's done absolutely nothing to reduce racism.
It did more to reinforce it. And
exactly,
so,
because they now thought that they had this tool, this objective tool that they could use to reinforce the differences that they perceive. You know, just like this this guy Kanazawa, you know, who did that Psychology Today blog and that phony study that he, you know, tried to publish, you know, saying that
black women
are objectively, are objectively less attractive, you know, which, and he used a study, that weren't even really measuring that, you know what I mean, in any way. They weren't even questioning, you know, whether or not black women were attractive or whatever. Not that you can really objectively measure a subjective quality to begin with, because attractiveness is entirely subjective.
Right. Well, I think it's
there are some general tendencies in how people perceive attractiveness. There are general tendencies, but those general tendencies still vary based on culture.
That is so trollish. That's trollish behavior. Like I think that's like a bomb thrower. You know, like whenever a white dude brings up something like that, I think they're just doing that just because they want to see how you react, so that they can say reverse racism or something like that. Yeah, I think that's just bomb throwing.
There are some people who do that deliberately, but in his case, this is not the first time that he's done it, and it's not the last time, and he's not the only person who's done something like this. There are people who use science and use academics and academic disciplines to obscure their racism and obscure their objectives, you know, which is to in some cases to bar access to minorities, or to make minority scholarship seem more questionable, you know, or to reinforce, you know, conservative racist agendas. I mean, we know that there are think tanks out there that, you know, like to talk heavily about black on black violence, which is a ridiculous term. You should just remove it from your lexicon, because, you know, first of all, America is more segregated now than before Jim Crow. Let's just be real about that. That's the first thing that we have to recognize. And where are you more likely to commit crime if you're going to commit crime? Are you more likely to commit crime close to where you live? And the statistics bear this out. You know, there's no difference really in the rate of violence. You know what I mean? In the white and black communities. You know what I mean? They're killing each other in white communities almost the same. I mean, think about it. Most crime, actually, the FBI statistics, the database, they have statistics that show, people who were killed by a husband or a boyfriend or someone that they knew, and then they have a stranger category, and then they have an unknown category. So the unknown category is like something like 5,500 or something. So that leaves like 6,000 some-odd people, you know what I mean, who are murdered, you know, either by someone they know or a stranger. Well, guess how many people are in the stranger category? Like 1,200. You know what I mean? So that means that over 5,000 people are murdered by somebody that they know. Well, because our country is more segregated than it's ever been, and most people murder or commit crimes, you know, close to home, what do you think that means? You're much more likely to be murdered by somebody who looks like you.
Right.
You know?
But I think, you know what, I think black-on-black crime, well, hold on, before I talk, can someone mute whatever that is? I don't know who's listening as well, but
I'm not listening to anything.
William, is that your computer?
No,
I mean, there's only three of us.
Could that be Blog Talk?
I'm not sure, but what was I gonna say? Oh, I was gonna say, you know, part of the reason that obviously black on black crime gets highlighted so much is, you know, Raina, I'm sure you already know this, you know, due to the association of criminality with black men.
Right.
You associate crime with black men, of course you think You think it's a part,
I was
going to
say, it justifies the incarceration.
Yeah.
It justifies the incarceration of black and brown people. And, it also is a very popular political tactic, of being, people can be tough on crime while doing actually nothing to reduce crime, except for scare people and lock more folks up.
Right.
The statistics bear this out. We're locking up like record numbers of people who are not involved in violent crime. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It is all about this association of black and brown people with violence and, being sort of less than human. You know what I mean? That allows us to incarcerate them at record rates as though they pose a real danger to society, even though we're just locking them up for, doing drugs or, even distributing. Think about it. Most of these black people that they're locking up for distributing drugs, how are they getting the drugs? Do black people own pot farms? Do we own poppy fields? Do we own any of these things? Do we own boats? Do we own planes? No.
I mean, some, but not the vast majority of us. No.
I mean, on the whole, though, and not significantly enough to contribute in any real way to the entry of drugs into our country. So we're not responsible for that. And they're targeting low level drug dealers and people who use.
Yep.
And this is a strategy that is ineffective. And you have to wonder why do they continue implementing this strategy? Because of the money that's involved and the way that you can manipulate the public into getting their votes based on looking like you're tough on crime.
Yep. The rapper Immortal Technique had a great line, probably one of my favorite lines about this in general, when he said, "They treat niggas and sticks like tigers and lions. These little babies, when they grown, put them behind iron."
I don't even know if they even do that cute little baby stuff. Honestly, I mean, that little 14-year-old boy who was choked by a police officer while he was feeding a puppy, of all things, choked until he urinated on himself.
For giving a menacing look.
Yes. Yes.
A menacing look
while feeding his puppy.
Yeah, shitty adult are you that you can't handle that? That is a shitty, broken adult. Again, throw him in the cage.
That it's a shitty, broken adult, because I think that that's just part. Like, I think that's just how our society is. It's this idea that you have to exert control. You know what I mean? Particularly if you're male, you have to exert control over those that you perceive as weaker than you. If you're a parent, you have to exert control, we call it when a child is divorced from sort of the common law control of his parents or her parents. We call that emancipation.
Right.
Alicia Silverstone.
You know what I mean? We have to do that for slaves. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, we have to think about this. Like, control and power and the way that we and the language that we use around it is it's not a pathological thing. It's not like you can just single out people who are, sociopaths or, assholes. You know what I mean? You can't just single those people out. It's everyday people. It's people we're friends with. It's people we love. And yet they still have these ideas that say, oh, I must control you, or, oh, I must, I must exert power or force or my will over you,
Right.
Happens
every
day.
Hold on. Now, to tie all this back with the original topic, do you believe that folks who consider themselves you know, intellectually elite, folks who believe that they are better than folks from simply being more intelligent or perceiving themselves as more intelligent. Do you think that these people are more apt to subscribe to those types of ideas that you were talking about?
Hell yeah. Look, okay, not to rehash the whole Dusty thing, okay, but Dusty is a prime example of what is wrong when people are on this intellectual, you know, elitism shit. You know what I mean? I do not like religion. I don't like it. You know, I may not talk about it all day, but if you ask me to, I can. You know what I mean?
Right.
About all the reasons why I don't like religion, why I think it hinders progress, you know, and why I think it harms people. But, you know, what I don't do is assume that everyone who is involved with religion is stupid. They're a stupid Christian. They're a stupid atheist. You know what I mean? There's people,
right.
There are people who are involved in science that are not too bright. You know what I mean? There are people, I mean, there's all types of people. But, you know, I believe this is part of the problem in the atheist, skeptical, you know, community, free-thinking community with respect to its position on social justice and why it's dragging its feet on dealing with issues of social justice. I believe that many of them sincerely think that these people are not worth their help. And I say these people, and I mean people who are black and brown and poor and uneducated and, you know, lacking living wage jobs. I think that a lot of them believe that these people are not worth helping and that these people are a lost cause. You know, there's a very libertarian streak in these circles, and you know, libertarians tend to be, you know, rather selfish individuals who don't believe
right.
in social safety nets and sort of, you know, communal sort of help, you know, they're out for self, and they think they believe in the sort of the social Darwinist, you know, idea of, you know, the survival of the fittest, you know, and I say, you know, social Darwinism because there's a difference between social Darwinism and Darwinism. You know, but I do believe that that is the thread, the intellectual elitism is that thread that connects to this apathy that we see in the community. I mean, today we have a statement from American Humanist, you know, that, you know, talks about the Trayvon Martin case and why, as humanists, we should care. And the reason that we should care as humanists is because Trayvon Martin was a human being, and he was hunted because he was black, and he was a child, and he was perceived as not belonging in that space. And that is why he was hunted. And that is why I respect American Humanists for putting out that statement. And yet there's silence throughout much of the rest of the free thought community regarding Trayvon Martin, although there are some people who have said things like Greta Christina, the Skeptics, and a handful of others. I'm sure there are a couple more people in the Free Thought Blogs Network who've said something. But
I encourage everyone to read Greta's, because I enjoyed hers very much, especially the end part.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I'm sure there are other, you know, bloggers out there on Free Thought Blogs. You know, check in with, you know, Black Skeptics. Check in with Gradient Layer. You know, there are numerous articles. I think Emmeline, you know, one of our colleagues, she wrote she guest blogged on Diminutive Divas blog on WordPress. So, you know, there's some really great things that are being written out there by, you know, atheist, skeptics, and humanists who care about social justice issues.
but the community as a whole has been very slow. And not even slow, not just slow, but a lot of them are just, like, clearly just obstinate. You know what I mean? Like, they have no idea, they have no desire whatsoever to even entertain, you know, discussing, you know, any matters of social justice. They think that by shouting, "We're all Africans," that somehow it you know, just, you know, gets rid of all of these distinctions of class and race and sex and, you know, gender and ableism and all of these other things that that limit opportunity and also the I can't even think right now. It's just it angers me when I think about it because it's disappointing that a group of people who thinks of itself as so intelligent is unwilling to use any of that to better their country or the conditions of their fellow human beings. So
I agree 100%.
And I think that is the epitome of intellectual elitism and just out and out snobbery. You know, I think
that's
as bad as it gets.
Hey. Backtrack. So we're going to use that word tonight.
Hey, I'm using it. I'm labeling the community snobs
just putting that out there.
Just letting you know. I'm just letting you know if you have a let them eat cake mentality about your fellow human beings, you are a snob. And you need to get over yourself.
Agreed.
And you need to get some empathy in your life.
Agreed. Well, all right, Raina, we have about 4 minutes left, so we need to get ready
Thanks,
to start
Marcus.
Wrapping it up. No problem. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
And that was Raina Rhodes, host of the RSS feed every other Saturday. Like I said, like Father Teresa said, go back and check the archives. I guess I was a guest on her show this past Saturday on the show on the topic, What is Ratchet? So make sure you go back, check the archives for that. Raina and Mario also had a show on Sunday where they spoke about whether society was going back, forwards or backwards. We had a show this past Monday on the Trayvon Martin case. So make sure you go back in the archives and check all of that. And make sure you go on Facebook. You can like our new Facebook page, The Breakbeat, where we provide lots of memes, photos, articles, dope music, questionnaires, and just thoughts that, you know, we feel are important to share and put out there in the world. Because in order to avoid being, you know, an intellectual elitist, which is one thing we definitely are not here at BFT Radio, we want to share the information and we want to make sure that you all can learn the same stuff that we learn, and you guys can understand the same ideas that we have, and that you all can also continue to spread the same information, and you can hopefully educate and inform people as we try to do here. So, yo, William, you got anything else to say? Still here? okay, maybe probably accidentally muted himself again. But in about two, you know, our next show will be in approximately 2 weeks. We haven't completely decided on a show concept just yet. But if you look out for our Facebook page and whatnot, you know, we'll definitely announce that. You know, feel free to hit me up on Twitter or on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at MC underscore Brooks. Hit Father Teresa up at the Father Teresa on Twitter, or holler at both of us on Facebook. You can definitely reach us here. And like I said, every Wednesday, you can every other Wednesday, you can catch us here. This Friday, Mario and M, otherwise known as M and Evil, will be having a show on polyamory. And that's definitely going to be a very educational show. And, you know, it's definitely going to be great. So we always want to encourage you to think outside the box and open your mind up to some new concepts. Although, keep in mind, free thought does not mean all ideas are worth considering. So, with that being said, only have about 20 seconds left in the show. I'd like to thank all of you for coming out, for listening in. Make sure you check this in the archives. You can check us on Stitcher and iTunes. And this is MC Brooks and Father Teresa signing out. Hope you guys have a wonderful evening and enjoy the rest of your week. All right, peace.